Hi there. This is the second in a three-part podcast series done by Common Resources, which you can access at commonresources.co.za. All our resources are freely available to church leaders everywhere. And in this particular podcast series, we're looking at preaching, sharpening your preaching for preachers and church leaders. And we have Taryn Williams, who heads up the preaching in Common Ground and has been involved in that for almost two decades, and Matt Knight, who's involved in collaborating all our preaching teams and preaching series across the 10 congregations that we specifically have at the moment. Welcome, guys. Today, we are going to be talking about what we preach. What do we preach? And that's a huge topic, when I'm assuming if you're a church leader or preacher listening in, you've spent a lot of time thinking about. It's one that I know Taryn certainly has spent a lot of time thinking about, and all of us here. What are some of the answers to that question?
Well, we preach the scriptures, and especially we preach the gospel, which is the nucleus of the scriptures.
So good to know.
My own dynamic as a preacher, I almost feel there's a push and a pull factor. For me, the push factor is, as a person steeped in the scriptures and steeped in the gospel, I find myself longing to preach. I've got this fire in my bones. I've got to tell someone. Other people got to see what I'm seeing here. They've got to feel what I feel. Mm. So that pushes me into preaching. But in the previous conversation, we spoke about who we're preaching to. Christians who need to make progress in the discipleship. Non-Christians that need to find faith. And that for me is the pull factor. As I spend time with people, I feel pulled towards them because you want to help them go forward. And so I like that push-pull dynamic. We're pushed by our insight into the scriptures, especially the gospel. And that's what I'd love to talk about now. So in terms of preaching scripture, maybe I can just say this in Common Ground. We always obviously are trying to preach the Bible every time we preach. Most times we will preach one section of scripture, you know, Ephesians chapter 1 verses 4 to 13. We call that verse by verse preaching, where you actually take a section of the Bible and that's what you're limiting your sermon to. Although almost always, I don't know if a preacher who doesn't, you know, we'll go beyond that scripture and refer to other supplementary scriptures. But there are times when we're preaching on a topic and we're looking for a scripture to preach on that topic, but we can't find one scripture that seems to cover enough material. And then we go, well, you can pick up a little bit from here and a little bit from there. And then we land up with a situation where we're actually looking to four or five different scriptures to unpack this particular theme. I mean, we've actually just done a series on the kingdom, and we find ourselves in that. Theologically, we wanted to speak about, you know, what we learn about the kingdom in the Gospels. And although we could find quite a lot in Luke chapter 4, we really then ended up going far beyond Luke chapter 4. So most times we will preach from one passage of scripture, but there are times when we'll preach from several passages, but we definitely prefer the former.
Yeah, and maybe just to say there, because you hinted at it, but in that, what, six-week series, we looked at Isaiah, prophetic kingdom stuff, we looked at Jesus pronouncing the kingdom, we looked at the epistles, we looked at the book of Acts, and so that's one central theme with multiple texts around it. And
There is quite a lot of conversation about the integrity of preaching more than just one text. Mm. So there's something classical coming out of the puritanical preachers, preach the word of God. You know, you take this portion of scripture and then you preach what it says, so that a person that bounces around with many texts, you're kind of suspicious of them. But might I point out that we, almost every example in the New Testament of preachers, they did that kind of preaching. So the actual bounce around method is something you do see in the epistles, for example. So there is a biblical basis for selecting many scriptures along a theme.
I think we would still say that I think it's maybe an overcorrection, but the heart behind not wanting to be topical and topically driven in our preaching is that we would be being led by the topic and not by the truth of Scripture, and that is something that we would still hold fast to.
Yeah, so when you've got a particular scripture that you're preaching, you've got to preach what's in there. So it there is the danger of a preacher just actually only having 15 things to say and using every sermon to say those 15 things.
Yeah,
whereas the preacher grows and the people grow by hearing the full diversity of insights in God's word.
Just to double click on that, you've put together a great resource for church leaders that is on this Common Resources site called Feed My Sheep,
yes,
where we kind of detail and we go into quite specific detail about how we have worked out the annual diet for Common Ground over the last decade at least.
Yeah, so we've got 54 sermons a year in Common Ground. We thought probably we should see ourselves as master chefs, trying to give our people a balanced diet for 54. You got 54 meals, and you could, you know, if you prepare them in advance, you could do even a better meal than if you just pulled something together on the Tuesday before. And we have come at an approach to almost a template of what 54 sermons could look like so that people have a balanced diet. And I recommend that particular resource to help you do that. But speaking about God's word, I love Charles Spurgeon. He says, the word of God is like a lion. You don't have to defend a lion. All you have to do is let the lion loose and the lion will defend itself. And that's what we try to do with the word of God. The word of God is the power of God. And we let the word loose on God's people. I say to our preachers that if you're going to experience God's authority in your preaching, you need to be a person under the authority of God's word. A person that spends time in the scriptures. Certainly if you're going to be a teacher or a preacher, you need to spend more time than usual in the word of God, more time than the average Christian. And as you live your life under the life and the authority of God's word in your own devotions, and you're a person that is transformed by the word of God, you can expect to see a similar kind of power in your preaching. And then you preach in a way that you're not over the word, you're under the word. So that's an important posture of humility.
And I think so often we start with the wrong question, you know, should I preach exegetically? Should it be passage, book, topically?
Yeah.
Rather than going, if you're doing what Taryn just said, then whichever approach you take will probably be very alive.
Get to the right place.
Yeah, absolutely. I do encourage people to study the word. My favorite resource by far, precisely because he helped me so much, is Michael Eaton's Preaching Through the Bible series. It's not overly academic in its presentation, but it just seems to just give you brilliant angles on every text. And the cool thing is a lot of his resources are available online. If you do a Google search for Michael Eaton, Slices for Everyone, and then to say, I'm going to work through Daniel using his commentary or the Gospel of Mark, and then actually have Michael Eaton in your ear as you're going through that book in your own devotions. Nobody's helped me preach better than Michael Eaton and getting his ear in my own Bible reading. Obviously, when it comes to the Bible, we need to correctly handle God's word. We often will have a passion to say something useful, but then we're in danger of eisegesis, where we want to say something to people, but it's actually not in the text, but we somehow stick it onto the text. And that's why, next to the Bible, probably the best book to read is How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth by Gordon Fee. Just gives you a good handle on hermeneutics, you know, understanding the various genres of scripture differently so that you interpret it rightly, whether it's narrative or parable or wisdom or prophecy or the epistles or apocalyptic, you're going to be opening those up in different ways. And of course, New Testament to Old Testament, you're going to deal with those scriptures in a different way. And there's the danger of making the main point of your message something that clearly isn't the main point of your text. And I think there are times when it's allowed. Some people will say never. But I'll give an example. I wanted to preach on evangelism. So I used Mark chapter 2, where the four friends carry their paralytic buddy to Jesus. And my whole message was about, you know, how these four guys carry, you know, you too can team up with others in bringing your friends to faith. And I drew out some insights. But if you look carefully at Mark chapter 2, actually it's not about those four friends. It's about Jesus and how masterful Jesus is at working into a sinner's life. And I realized as I did that yes, I can speak about evangelism, but it needs to be an implication or a side point, and the main point of my message actually needs to be Jesus. So I did a little bit of tweaking in that message so that the main point of my message was the main point of the text.
Great.
In terms of the Bible, I love that resource, the Bible Project. I just recommend everybody just watches all the Bible Project videos. I particularly appreciate their passion for biblical theology, not just systematic theology. So you could watch their videos.
Can you just quickly, for some of us, unpack the difference? What's the difference between biblical and...
Biblical theology is when you take the categories of Scripture and then they usually unfold along a storyline, whereas a systematic theology, there's no... There's no sensitivity to narrative. So if you're preaching a portion of Scripture, often it will have a thread running through it that is one of the grand themes of Scripture. So if you've got something about temple or Sabbath or glory or justice or redemption, it might warrant you pulling on that thread, and you can go beyond that Scripture and just show how that story unveils from creation to fall to redemption, to consummation. So capturing the story of particular biblical themes is often a brilliant way to also preach the gospel from any passage.
So that is biblical theology, is looking at that thread.
Yeah. And then every preacher, you develop a whole Bible theology as you exegete lots of Scripture. So every bit of Scripture you read, you need to read in light of other Scripture. You've got to do the hard work of developing a good whole Bible theology. I already mentioned Michael Eaton. His book, The Plan and the Purpose of God, is his systematic theology. I found that really helpful. There's just something powerful about his approach to a systematic theology. My favorite systematic theologian, I'm not saying I agree with everything he says, but gives you a good grounding, is Michael Bird in his evangelical theology. And then I often point people to a resource that I haven't used myself, but people say is amazing because it's free, is biblicaltraining.org/foundations, where these brilliant Bible teachers in America put their online resources, the university lectures, online for free.
Wow.
So there's some good resources to steep yourself in Scripture.
Taryn, you mentioned earlier about preaching the Scriptures, especially the gospel. Can you talk more about that?
I think there's the danger of telling yourself that you're a Bible preacher, and then you just preach through one portion of Scripture after the next, but you fail to pan out and give people the big story. And it came from doing a study of many of the epistles where people are instructed to preach the word, like Paul says to Timothy. And actually, as you study that, what Paul means by the word is not every verse in the Old Testament. Preach the word means the word of the gospel. And my understanding is that the gospel is the nucleus of Scripture. The gospel is the big story of Scripture. Jesus is the hero of the Bible. And that actually we think we're preaching the Bible, but if we don't preach the main subject and the hero of the Bible every time we preach the Bible, I think we're preaching out of context. Wow. And some of the reasons I'm so passionate about that is that it locates your particular portion of Scripture that you're preaching on in the larger story. But my goodness, Christians need the gospel. There's a myth that says, you know, Christians need to have a person needs to have the gospel, then they're saved. And then after that, they don't need the gospel. They just need to hear advanced biblical principles and insights.
Sure.
But actually, the gospel is not just the diving board into the Christian faith. The gospel is the swimming pool. The gospel is precisely how we come to know the lengths and the breadths and the heights of God's love and go deeper and deeper in. Mm-hmm. Christians need the gospel. If you just preaching principles to them and not the gospel, we easily become moralistic and legalistic. The gospel is what keeps our hearts soft and malleable. And then, of course, non-Christians need the gospel. So earlier we spoke about how we preach to Christians and non-Christians.
Mm.
We say in Common Ground, let every message you preach land in the gospel. Land in the gospel. Mm. So let all the lines of your message converge in the gospel. Most times your message is going to land in the gospel so that Christians will be edified. But secondly, non-Christians will be evangelized. Mm. Imagine the horror of somebody getting a friend to come to church for the first time. And this person walks away going, oh, Christianity is just a moralistic bunch of people trying to make their lives better through working on the rules. And that's not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ. So we want to preach the gospel every time we preach. And the gospel, beautifully in the Scriptures, is so multifaceted. So whatever text you're preaching on, mind you, whatever topic you're preaching on, we ask what unique angle does this bring to the gospel? Because that's the aspect of the gospel that you're going to culminate this message in. So in Common Ground, if you hear the gospel at the end, it'll always be differently said, using different pictures, different language, highlighting different aspects of the gospel.
Mm.
But the gospel is where the power is. The gospel is the power to save, and the gospel is also the power to keep a Christian growing. So don't just preach scripture, preach the gospel.
Mm,
and beautiful. Although you might have entire messages devoted to unpacking aspects of the gospel, sometimes that won't be the case. Make sure that you land in the gospel in that case. And organize your message in a way that the gospel is not just the last point, but it resolves all the lines of the gospel. I say to our preachers, probably no one does this better than Tim Keller. And you may have heard of him, though, the Redeemer Church in New York City. So many of his talks are online for free. You'll notice every message he organizes so that it climaxes and resolves in the gospel at the end.
Mm. I love that picture of the gospel almost being this central pillar, and instead of us just being saved and then walking further away from it, it's like a spiral staircase that we just circle around and around, but at a different level, hopefully, you know, higher and higher in terms of our understanding of it and our depth into it. I wonder, I haven't asked you this before, but if you could summarize the gospel, the key themes or messages of the gospel in a sentence or two, what would you say? Because it's an umbrella term, you know, that I think we might all have different, you know, depending on our kind of theological background, what we mean by that.
So part of me resists the question right off, because the Bible generally doesn't do that.
Mm.
I think that if you want to know what the gospel is, listen to our preaching over 54 weeks and you'll figure out the gospel. And I say that because there's so much richness and nuance to it.
Mm.
So the gospel has got various theological components. So there's a systematic theology approach to the gospel, where the gospel is the message about who God is. The gospel is the message about who humanity is, made in the image of God and yet fallen. The gospel is the message of Jesus Christ, who he is, what he did, the message of his cross, what the cross achieves, his resurrection, what the resurrection achieves, how we respond to the gospel, what salvation is.
Mm.
This is a kind of a systematic theology approach to the gospel.
Mm.
But the gospel is also the dynamic story that unfolds in creation, in collapse or fall, in redemption and in restoration. So there's different ways of coming to the gospel. But essentially, if I answer your question, the gospel is about Jesus Christ and his work of salvation, and with an emphasis of what he does, not what we do.
Wow.
So the moment you get to what we need to work on, you're outside of the gospel. The gospel is the gracious, undeserved, good work of God towards human beings.
So
in Ephesians 1-6, the first three chapters are all in the indicative tense. They describe who God is, who Jesus is, what Jesus has done. There isn't a single command in those first three chapters in Ephesians.
Wow.
It's just thoroughly gospel. It's just unpacking various aspects of the gospel. Then Ephesians 4-6 is how to live your life in light of the gospel. It underlines, again, some aspects of the gospel. But I find the moment you're telling people what to do, you're now speaking about the implications of the gospel. So for me, roughly speaking, every message will have parts that are the gospel and some parts that are the implications of the gospel. If I can just say, I encourage our people, you need to give them instructions about how to live, because Jesus did that and the apostles do that in the epistles. But never preach a naked imperative. The imperative is a command. A naked imperative is when you just tell people how they need to live, but you haven't first soaked them and that truth in the gospel.
Wow.
You clothe it in the indicatives. The indicatives are all the things God has done. The imperatives are the things you need to do.
Wow.
So whenever we're speaking about the goodness of God or the inbreaking of God's kingdom, we are preaching aspects of the gospel. We've just done a series on the kingdom, and that really unpacks the gospel. The danger is that some people will then take the kingdom and speak about it primarily as what God is doing that you get to join him in doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the weakness of that is now you're moving beyond gospel to implications of the gospel. And we need to draw a very clear line between what God has done, the saving work of God, and what you do in sanctifying power in light of the gospel.
Mm.
So we try to immerse our people in the indicatives. in the indicatives. So looking back over our preaching, you often will have a series that is imperative heavy. And we'll go, my goodness, we've just done a whole series where people are feeling really challenged, and we give them a whole bunch of stuff to work on. And hopefully we tied it to the gospel in each sermon. But on the whole, that was an imperative heavy message. It's probably time that we do an indicative indicative heavy series on the Holy Spirit or on Christ or on salvation or in the kingdom, on the character of God, where we just let people soak up the goodness of God towards them in free grace.
Absolutely.
The gospel is God breaking in to rescue and restore a broken, fallen creation and humanity in his son Jesus Christ, and particularly through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Beautiful. There you go. You defined it in the end. Any other thoughts on this topic?
Go get them. Get into the scriptures already.
Thank you.
Go to bed earlier. Wake up early in the morning so you can get into God's word. You might want to take Michael Eaton's advice. Start writing your own commentary. You know, work through a book of the Bible and actually cut and paste it from an online resource, and then get three or four really good commentators. Michael Eaton I would put on that list, and write down your own commentary, and then break up your text into preachable units. So actually write it as though it's preaching content. And this is about the best way to really live in the scriptures. Wonderful. In a way that's leaning towards preaching them.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Taryn. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, listeners.